Oh, we are ready to rock and roll.
I can sense your apprehension.
My man Jim knows this song. What's up, man?
You listen to that song before you put it on.
Everybody, welcome back to another podcast with GU Unfiltered. Today's guest, I got the one and only Jim Kinsey. Jim has been a great friend of mine. He's been, ever since I did this whole Gladiators thing, he's kind of been my go-to guy that I kind of went to. You know, he's been in the industry for a very long time. You know, Jim, tell me, what have you been up to?
Well, I'll tell you, first off, you know, Luke, I really appreciate you having me on GU Unfiltered. Yeah. What a cool, you know, following the whole Gladiator theme. You guys, you know, you guys have it going on over there, and I'm super envious because I always wanted to get in the ring and fight. You know, I did a little kickboxing in the Marine Corps back in the day, and I love what you guys do, and I've always been attracted to that, the whole MMA and that whole Gladiator mindset, so...
Well,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Well, you've always been a downright cool ass dude. Like I must say, every time we actually hang out, we get a, you know, what was it, 2 years ago, a year ago, we were at SHOT Show, Indy, ATA. I think that's the last time I seen you.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got to have a few beers, seeing each other on the show floor. I mean, it's always a good time with you.
Always a good time, you know, and. Like I said, you know, it's been a fun career that I, you know, I do, I'm a filmmaker. You know, I do music creation. I write like a lot of stuff for magazines. So I've kind of got this, you know, from an early age, I kind of started out in, you know, filming and from my dad kind of got me into it when I was like 13, and that's really kind of what got my start. And then from there, you know, I kind of was writing a little bit in college and stuff. And then kind of combined everything I knew on the filming side, everything I knew on the writing side. And I play piano, you know, a lot of people don't know that, but in the background there's a, you know, Yamaha Montage 8, and I like to play keyboard. And so I'm kind of like, I guess I'm a jack of a few trades. I do a little bit of everything, but I really, my passion is filming and storytelling with a camera.
Right. And we all know what you've done with Skullbound and with Jana there. I mean, that's pretty much how I felt. I knew who you were. And tell me, like, being a camera guy, like, what, I mean, I'm very minimum on the camera. I mean, I do this and that. I've done schools with Grady, worked with Grady, sure. Had him out there, right? You and I both know Grady real well.
Great dude.
When I get a lens or I get a good picture and that gets my pecker hard. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool, man. Like, that's the geek in me. You know what I mean? It's not the fighter in me. But, like, when I do stuff, it's cool. And tell me, like, what – I mean, is it the kind of the same passion that you have right there is, like, as I feel when I capture a good picture or clip?
Absolutely. Nothing, you know, drives me harder than the reaction that I get from, you know, an audience watching something that I've created, you know, whether it's music that I've written that's maybe on iTunes with an artist, or if it's, you know, something that I've shot and cut to maybe an original score that I created or something. I love the audience's reaction, I guess, to things that I've created. It's almost like you start with nothing. You have an empty, you know, canvas, and you're painting this picture with, you know, different images, moving, dialogue, natural sound in the world around you, an elk bugling, whatever. Those things are all a part of that experience. And I think that's what gives me that hard on, I guess, as a camera guy.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Like, I just love going back. I mean, how I started filming hunts was I wanted to show my brothers and my friends, like, man, dude, you guys got to do this. Like, get outside and hunt these animals. Like, it's like, it's not even about, like, you know, killing the animal. To me, it was just being out there and capturing, seeing this. Oh, man, I saw a moose today or whatever. Like, to me, that shit was cool to me, and I just wanted to share it.
Absolutely. You know, that when I really first started out filming, I can take you back to, like, my very first, you know, filming opportunity. I went to Kenya in 2000, like, you know, 2 years after the embassy was bombed, but I was in the country in Nairobi, and I kind of just signed up for this environmental piece where I got to go to Kenya for 30 days. So I was working at the U.S. Postal Service full time at the time as a letter carrier. And one of my friends was like this producer, and he's like, "Hey, I've seen you shoot some video. You know, I started in 98, so people can date back how long. I'm 21 years of doing this."
You're no rookie.
So I got to go to Kenya. I took a chance, went over there, and I did an environmental documentary called Dongo Kundu, which is Swahili for Red Earth. And that's what really got me. We won a couple of awards at the International Wildlife Film Festival here in Missoula, Montana. And I was like, hey, this is cool. I can do this. So starting out, you know, it was like doing a documentary, doing a lot of PSAs for people, just getting my name out. And I came back from Kenya, and Montana caught on fire. The whole state was the largest fire season since 1910. So hence, I was like, well, I just got done from being in Kenya. Why not grab a camera and go film the biggest wildfire season as a documentary?
Right.
So I went out full time, hardly any sleep. I just go from work right to the field and, you know, and go back and forth until I had 30 some hours of footage. And I launched Firestorm 2000, which I gave to PBS for free. And it launched me as a national producer overnight.
Well, there you go. There you go. Right. Give something out and you look what happened.
Yeah, you know, just so that's kind of how I got my start. And I just, you know, ever since then, it's just been, I'll take you to a real quick story is Unit 9 Arizona, Robert Hanneman from the Hunting Pool. Big shout out to those guys. But Robert, back in the day, wasn't working for the Hunting Pool. He had drew Unit 9 Arizona archery tag. And a real quick story is we were into giant bulls every day, and everybody loves big bulls, right? Well, I had one almost run me over with the camera where he ran by so close that he actually, the microphone hit his side.
No way.
I'm thinking the thing was going to run me over. Anyway, we ended up killing the bull he was fighting 2 minutes later at 9 yards. So,
wow.
I mean, that's the kind of thing I live for as an outdoor filmmaker, camera guy. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's how I know you. And obviously, you kill a lot of shit, too.
Yeah. I do kill a few things.
I've seen some pictures. I'm telling you, guys, this guy, he needs to pat himself on the back. Like, he literally carrying, you know, big tripods, big cameras. I mean, it ain't like little cameras. This guy carries the big works out. And he goes up on mountains in Montana, and holy shit. Because I bitch about my gear. And then I watch your stuff, and I'm like, man, I got to man up.
Well, we kill it, then we got to pack it out.
So right.
Skull bound, and we kill something and be like, well, now we got it. Now I have all this camera gear, and we've got a quarter out this animal and pack it out 4 or 5 miles. So, I mean, you know, you became a Sherpa, you know, hiding away, you know, and then obviously a producer. So you wear many different hats. But at the end of the day, just like when I was in the Marine Corps, we learned to improvise, adapt, and overcome to any situation. So for me, it was just like, hey, well, how are we going to tackle this problem? What are we going to do? How are we going to get through this? And so that's been my mindset for my business, you know, over the years, and it's been really successful. So.
Well, you know, now that you brought that up, Newt, the whole business deal, I know you're getting ready to launch a new series out there called, what is it called?
Adventure Hunter, as in van, Advan.
Advan. Oh, that's why the Mercedes. Yes, I know. I've seen it. That's true. That's sweet. Okay. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, last summer, this was the last year of Skullbound. I hired a bunch of guys to finish filming it out for me, and I hired a couple editors, and I finished probably half the shows. And I was like, about July of last year, I was thinking, what can I do that's sustainable living, conservation driven, and I can be mobile? And I started looking at some of the van life, this whole movement of the overland crowd. I love four-wheel drives. I've always tugged behind, a jumping jack trailer. I've got a Tundra with a topper. I'm always sleeping in the back. I'm like, how can I be more mobile and still get, travel everywhere, maybe have a guest hang at the maybe whether we're writing a song in the van or whatever. So I'm like, I'll buy a Mercedes Sprinter, kit it out, and turn into a mobile conservation wagon where I can, travel around and film. And so thus was born the idea and concept of Adventure Hunter. And so from that point on, I started, this is how it really works. Crazy. I built this little soundtrack, just an audio track with some voiceover. And I started almost like a radio ad. I started sending it out to sponsors to pique their interest and create this visualization of what I was trying to accomplish. I didn't have a van. I just had an idea. And everybody was like mind blown because the 1 minute piece that I put together, they were like, this thing is going to be insane, because they could see the picture I painted with the soundtrack and the vocals. And so that was it. And then I did some cold emails just out to a couple companies. One was Sportsmobile West, which is one of the biggest companies that does band conversion. Jonathan Phelps, the president, he hits me right up and was like, we want to be a part of this. And I get 30 emails a day. And so he saw that this was a good deal. And then the Adventure Company came on board. James Margot, the owner, one of his guys that Brandon Nelson, that works the social media side, calls up and he's like, hey, I handle all their social media. What's this about? And we both had fly fishing in common. And he's a hunter. And so we started talking, and here we are almost a year later, 9 months later, and we've got Brandon is my co-host. Adventure Company is one of my sponsors, and I've got a lot of the sponsors from Skullbound on board. I'm super excited about the sustainable living movement, that I'm trying to create on this series, and I'm super pumped. It's been really well received.
Well, from just what I see when I follow your Instagram off of that, let alone from Jim Kinsey, you can follow along on that. But like, who doesn't like a badass vehicle wrapped up in Kryptek?
Oh, I know. Kryptek, right? Highlander?
Right.
It's badass to begin with. You blend like the chameleon, and I think it's effective in 80% of all worldwide environments, that Highlander pattern. Special forces are wearing it. So I'm like, why wouldn't I wrap it? So CMYK Graphics, the guys down in Boise, awesome. They do lots of point of purchase stuff, but basically they do a lot of vehicle wraps. So I was working with those guys down there, Mark Austin, and he's like, hell to the yeah, bring your vans in and we'll wrap these bad boys. So they wrap my partners in Wraith, which is really the old Yeti pattern, which is Snowflage Wraith. And then they wrapped mine in Highlander. And man, we knew from that on, I've had almost two people have accidents because they're looking at the van as it drives by and they're almost running into another vehicle. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet. I'm excited to see where that goes because, honestly, it's something new. And in the industry, not the old that's boring or nothing. It's just it's done so much. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's doing the same. It's a cookie sheet. You know what I mean? Like a cookie pattern or whatever,
We've seen it so many different ways, and it's cut so many different ways. And, I started to think, what is new? What is fresh? What is... there's a lot of new eyeballs that don't know about hunting, that don't know about sustainable living. And let's face it, I have a real, sad part of my heart right now thinking about the people that are affected by, the COVID-19. And, there's a lot of grocery stores that are completely out of food, and there's people that don't have anything in their freezer. And I'm thinking how blessed I am because I live sustainable living, and in my freezer is a bear. People are like, oh, why would you shoot a bear? Well, I'm eating him I've got breakfast burritos we made up, and I'm eating them morning. I've got, deer, and I've got elk, and I've got whitetail, and all these things in there. And it's because I live by the sustainable living. That's my whole MO. And it's really comes to pass right now when things are scarce, like food especially.
That's been kind of the topic lately around here. Like, I think more people are going to realize, oh shit, I understand why they go hunting now. Oh shit, mm-hmm. I didn't understand why I need to have a gun at my house now. I mean, it's just, now you want to jump on the board. But I mean, hey, I get it. Like, it sucks that this people are getting sick and dying from it, but maybe, this is the picture that they need to see, right?
It's like, a wake call. You guys need to know that, hey, hunters are the greatest conservationists of all time. If it wasn't for us, a lot of these species wouldn't be around today. Let's face it. Look at what the National Wild Turkey Federation's done with the turkey.
Yeah, look at that.
Exactly. Now, I wish I could call with my mouth, but I can't. But yeah, those guys, kudos to them and the Mule Deer Foundation. So many people that I work with, these guys put their money on the ground, and they basically, they help the wildlife population. And just because they're helping one specific creature, everything else is benefiting from what they do with the environment. So those are the guys that I work with, So with Adventure Hunter, we're going to be showing conservation, sustainability, and we're going to be working with GoPro and Red Bull athletes and Adam Gleck, a famous chef. He's coming on a turkey hunt in about 2 weeks with Brandon. We're going with the guys Jackson and Eric Jackson, and those guys from Jackson Kayaks. We're gonna be bombing down some rapids, and then we're gonna go fishing for whatever and telling their whole story. We're doing, Chris Burkhardt, famous photographer. We're gonna talk about his backdrop, his background in photography. I mean, he's got like 3 million Instagram followers, and he's a good friend of Brandon Nelson. So what Brandon brings to the table, my co-host from Adventure Hunter, is he's this younger version of me. So.
Yeah, I mean, I pop on your channel, and I listen to him. He's a cool-ass dude. It seems like I think you did great with him. Like, personally, I mean, not just me. Like, I'm a pretty easy guy to entertain, for one, but, like, for me to keep popping on, you got to have the charisma, right? And he does, and I think he does, and I think he did pretty good on that. So, speaking of like photography and camera stuff, I had a couple questions hit me up on the IG when I posted this that I was doing this with you. Hey Kenzie, what is a good camera for the backpack? Not real heavy. I mean, you know, probably like the Sony's, and a good. They want to know. And where don't break the bank.
Yeah, so I'll give you a good example. So for season 8 and 9, I filmed 90% of the footage on the Sony Z90. It's the PWX Z90. It's a small handheld 1-inch sensor, shallow depth of field, 4K, which is kind of what I shoot in. When you drop it in the 1080 timeline, we deliver to the network if you're doing that, or even YouTube, whatever. You get a 4x zoom. You can crop in on the timeline. I love that camera, and it won't break the bank. Bedford Outdoors, drop them my name, you'll save 5%.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Anybody out there?
Hey, 5% is 5%, you know?
Hey, world, drop 5, that's a good thing.
Yeah, so what I'm about to do right now is I'm just going to give a little people a little taste of what we're doing right now. We're on live right now, so if you're, are you on the computer or are you on your phone?
No, I'm on my MacBook right now.
So this is live right now on the IG right now. I'm talking to Jim Kinsey. He's my dude. Anyways, if you got any questions about Jim Kinsey, holler him over to me. But other than that, we're just going to continue to go on this podcast. The other thing I wanted to go over is, so like when you're editing footage and stuff, you do a lot of Adobe Premiere and stuff like that, or do you have a different one?
Yeah, I work with Adobe Premiere on the Creative Cloud. You know, I'll take you back to Adobe Premiere. The very first, when I started editing Adobe Premiere, was 51 Charlie, 5.1 back in the day. We're talking 1998 on a 10 gig hard drive. Today, flash forward to, you know, Adobe Premiere Pro 2020, you know, but in that gap in between, I did work with Final Cut for a number of years on 7. So, yeah, I love Adobe Premiere.
That's good sweet. That is really sweet. Hey, I got a question. Hey, no, can't ask that question. Nope, not going to ask it. Hey, anyways, the internet's ruthless, bro. They always win. They always win. Anyways, let's talk a bit about your music thing. I know you do a lot of keyboarding. I mean, if you guys don't know, he was the guy that got me in with touch with Michael Connors and all the guys that did Gladiator with my theme song for my intro and everything else. That's this song right here. I use it. I love it. I mean, they hit it right on the nail head with this with me, and I could not be more happier with it. And you pretty much just guided me right to it.
Well, you know, I appreciate you even letting me write the song, or even, you know, using those creative talents that, you know, Michael possesses and that I possess. And we just happened to, you know, start thinking about it. What would it be like to walk into the ring? What would it be like to face that foe? Everything you've trained for, and, you know, and I think Gladiator, you know, kind of encompasses what you guys at Gladiators Unleashed go through as fighters, as, you know, like Justin Gaethje going into the ring, training hard, facing his foe, and going, okay, man, I'm that lion. I'm about ready to tear you up. And so,
right,
I think that was the theme. And you know, it's on iTunes. It's on the Overcome album, Cryptex theme song, the Overcome album. You'll see your Gladiator, you know, Open the Cage. All your guys' songs are on there. So yeah, I mean, it was one of my favorite songs of all times. I run to it all the time. Like literally.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, it's literally a badass song. And if you guys have not checked it out, go to iTunes, right? I mean, it's on there. You can download Michael the Connors. Song. Michael Connors. Actually, the whole album of Overcome is Cryptek, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's a badass album. I mean, Michael Connors, I'll give you props. In fact, I probably should have him on the podcast. He's a cool-ass dude.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a really cool-ass dude. What we were talking about, you going turkey hunting. What's up with that? Are you going to... I mean, Colorado just got locked down. We are tomorrow morning. We are from 8 a.m. till April 11th. We cannot leave our house. I mean, obviously, to the grocery stores if we need it, medication, whatever. But, yeah, the whole state.
So, yeah, we're not locked down here, Luke, at all. Like, right now, Montana's, like, kind of, like, still... I mean, restaurants are closed. None of the public services are open, things like that. But, you know, we're kind of just staying in the house, eating food, you know, that we have out of the freezer. But turkey season here doesn't open for a couple weeks yet. So, you know, by the time I think you guys are off lockdown, you know, our turkey season should be coming up. Spring bear actually starts on the 15th of April.
Man,
so that comes.
I'm jealous. Yeah. You guys got spring bear.
Oh, yeah.
Colorado needs to get on that train because there's bears like crazy up here. It's nuts. It's nuts.
Yeah,
I mean,
we can't believe you guys can't hunt them in the spring. It's one of the craziest things, I mean, to me. But, hey, you know, we hunt them in the spring and the fall here. Of course, we have grizzlies as well. So a few years ago, I filmed those two grizzlies mating for 7.5 hours.
Yeah, that was
one of the ever filmed in the wild was just coming upon two mating grizzlies, and I had to have a 4K camera and a long lens and film them forever.
Yeah, that was like gold right there. When I saw that, dude, I was like, dude, that was sick. That was that. Yeah, that, yeah, that me as a if I was filming that, my pecker would have been hard and scared.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you cat couldn't scratch it. I promise you.
Speaking of being like scared and shit, I wanted to ask you a question. We got to salute you. Thank you for your service. He is a veteran, Marine, right?
Yeah.
He served the country. What's the craziest shit that ever happened? You know?
I mean, I've done so many crazy things, but I mean, nothing too crazy. When I say crazy, crazy to me is it isn't that crazy. Because I did not see battle because I was a helicopter mechanic. I was an aviation welder. And so, I mean, I literally just worked on choppers all day. Then I went to the beach. I mean, so it was like this crazy, hey, keep it flying and they don't mess with you. You know, so I was like, that's kind of how I rolled the whole way through. I mean, in boot camp, I got a little bit of trouble here and there. But, I mean, I learned to adapt and overcome real quick. So I didn't get my name called out, like Kinsey, you know, Private Kinsey, right. You know, a few times there. But we never volunteer for anything. They always say, don't volunteer. So this one time they came through and they're like, if we got any volunteers, I'm like, frick, man, fuck it, I'm doing it. So I raised my hand up, and sure as shit, they're like, okay. They go, Corporal Kinsey, you know, we're going to go jump out of a helicopter, search and rescue, do some practicing with the frogman, and then we'll gather you up. But we're in that, you know, it's the top 10 breeding ground for hammerheads in the world, Kaneway Bay, Hawaii. So I'm like, oh, great. So I'm jumping in my PT gear out of a chopper, you know, flying it, you know. You know, I think we were doing 25 miles an hour off the ocean, you know, about 25 feet up, 30 feet up, and then like 35 feet, three different jumps.
In a chopper.
In the entire water, we jump out, you know, just kind of like this, jump into the water, and boom, down we go. We come up. There's a frogman. He grabs us and brings us over. And the entire time, I'm thinking, because it's right during the breeding season, these hammerheads are breeding. I know they're right underneath me. And I'm like, why did I volunteer for this? I'm like, totally, you know, going to, like, get myself out of the gene pool here. But anyway, I never did. But I knew there was, like, we went out one day and caught 33 of them. So it's not like they're not there. They're there.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, that was kind of crazy. I mean, I got lots of stories, but nothing too crazy.
Now, tell me, is the Marines probably the best Armed Forces to join, or what?
Yeah, man. Now my brother was in the Army. He'll be like, the Army. I'll be like, what up, never, doggy. No, we always would just give each other a hard time. But I love all service members. You know, the older I get, the less I give a shit because it's like we all served our country, whatever. But
absolutely.
The Marine Corps, the Marines, straight up, 11 weeks in boot camp. No bullshit. You get there, it's like, what the fuck just happened? Civilian world just went away, and you have no freaking clue. Like, I used to run every day on the mountain, get prepared. Physically, I was ready. Mentally, I had no fucking clue what I was about ready to get into. And the truth of it is, it was a complete mind. I mean, I wasn't ready for that.
Right.
And I quickly and learned how to get through it. And then, but it was tough. You know, the Marine Corps, I'm not going to lie, it was hard. A lot of guys went home to mama. They never got there, never made it through, and they didn't, you know, they weren't called a Marine. I wasn't about to be that. No freaking way. So,
so
I made
it. So what you're saying is you ain't no punk bitch.
Never.
That's why you're my boy, Blue.
I'll take the hill every freaking day.
Right.
So, yep.
Right.
Whatever. I got the mission.
We got Jim Kinsey drinking a Corona right now.
I couldn't figure out why, but they're almost giving them away.
Right.
So
my thing is, if you fear it, you'll catch it.
It's so true. So true, man. I've actually got a cooler filled with some more right behind you.
Yeah, so, grab it. It's about that time. It's about that time. A lot of the guys were complaining they couldn't hear my audio on this whole thing. So, I'm like, hey, guess what? It's a progress in work. Did you get it open?
Check it out. I got a leather, man.
And I was going to say, you need one of these babies right here. Look at that.
Hey, I know a guy.
Yeah, you definitely know a guy. You definitely know a guy. Check this out, though. This is what you do.
What do we get for $10? Everything you want. Everything?
Yeah, you know that, huh, Jim? I love that one. I love that one.
Unfiltered, as usual.
Yeah.
There we go. Somewhere. I do have one more Marine Corps story that I almost drowned. It's a true story. I got caught in a cave free diving. And I do remember, you know, I used to do a lot of free diving, and we're going to do some on Adventure Hunter. But, you know, this was you have to go up above, get your breathing relaxed, and then dive down into a big cave. And we'd come out the other side and you'd spear these fish. But it's like 30, 40 feet through, and you're going down and down. And then you don't realize it. After a storm, there's a surge. And so you can get trapped in that surge. And long story short is I got down in the middle of that cave. And a week before, another Marine had died there, drowned.
Oh, shit.
He got turned because he got in the surge and panicked and wasn't, you know, maybe didn't have enough shape, wasn't in good enough shape or couldn't hold his breath as long. I got trapped in the middle and I was caught there for a while. It pulled me through, pulled me through and hold me there. By the time I got out and came up, I almost blacked out as I hit the surface. I turned onto my back and got my breath. But that's a true story. I came real close to drowning. So.
Yeah, dude. I like doing adventures and shit, but, you know, something about like deep sea, like I snorkel. That's cool. I snorkel. But when y'all say, hey, let's go scuba diving, I'm like this. Bye, Felicia.
Yeah.
Bye, Felicia. Nope, I'm gone, baby. I ain't playing that game. I don't know. I just, my brown ass can't swim anyways. I can't swim to save my life. We had to tread water when we were training. Even in wrestling, shit, I couldn't tread water to save my life. There's no way in hell I'm snorkeling.
Deep water dive. On your breath, you know, pressurizing your ears. I mean, I think my deepest dive was probably 70, 80 feet.
Oh,
so,
shit.
You know, a long ways down and a long ways back.
One of my buddies, you know, Cowboy Cerrone, you know, he's a freaking adventure junkie. He went on a scuba dive and went down there, and he got caught up and almost ran out of air, and he was down there for a minute. And I don't know. He told the story on the Joe Rogan experience, and man, it was just right there. I mean, I was like, fuck it, I'm cool. I don't need to do that. I mean, although the pictures and the video that he captures is just unbelievable. It's like a new world down there, right? Like, I get it why you guys do it, but man, I'm like, fuck that, no way.
We're going off with upstate New York, upstate New York. We're going to be doing Rockfish in August with Peter Coryell, and then we're going down to Baja, and we're going to be doing, you know, obviously, you know, yellowfin, ahi, you know, mackerel, all that stuff down there as part of the Adventure Hunter series. So that will happen this fall. Yeah.
Is there any pink snapper down there?
I had to do that.
Oh shit, that's funny.
After real red.
Oh shit, Jim, that's fucking crazy. That's a good one. Let's change gears a little bit.
There's a bit of a rattlesnake.
I like to introduce. You know about the MMA game, right?
Okay.
You know it, right? You know the MMA game, right? So here's the thing. Here's the thing. You know I'm in it. You know Justin. You know you met. Yeah, you met Justin. We were at SHOT Show that one year together.
Oh, yeah.
What was your first? Hang on. What was your first impression when you met Justin? And this was, you guys got to remember, when Justin wore the black frame glasses. Just look like, well, I said it the other day.
He honestly looked like a nerd, but I knew he was a badass because I've seen him on WSOF or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, undefeated, but man, how can he, what the hell? He was, but you take those glasses off and you put gloves on the guy and he's going to knock you in the next week. It's like, you just know, you just like, you kind of, he would throw you off. If you saw him on the street, you'd be like, you'd totally kick his ass and then he would kill you.
It's so nuts because, like, you know, it's, you would think, like, you know, you walk in a bar and you know, you're in a bad mood and you want to beat someone's ass, or you get drunk and you lip off and you look at this guy with glasses and he's about to fuck you up. And that's Justin. Like, he's the Clark, what is it? Superman, Clark Kent, right there.
Oh, yeah, totally. Fuck your glasses, break off the, you know, the suit, and he's ready to kill you. I mean, that's basically Justin Gagey to a T. And then do a backflip at the end and just like,
right?
You know? Out of control. Love that guy. Yeah,
that's my boy Blue. Well, speaking of the MMA game, I got a question. I got a question for you that I like to answer, or I like to ask my guest.
Sure.
So if we got Chuck Liddell, Dan Henderson, and Justin Gaethje.
Yeah, those are my boys. I love them.
Yeah, I knew you. I know you know Dan. I know you know Chuck, and obviously know Justin. Now, put it in this category. You got to hunt with one, party with one, and then fight one. Go.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I would definitely hunt with Justin Gagey just because I don't want to go in the ring with him because he'll wrap me up like a pretzel, leg kick me till I can't stand anymore. No, I need my legs to hike. Okay, so I would hunt with him. Party, Dan Henderson. I party with him at SHOT Show. He's cool as shit, but he's like that guy. That, if it goes down, he's my bouncer. You know what I mean? Like, he's the guy that's going to, like, roll people into the next week. And then Chuck Liddell, I would fight him because the Iceman would have me literally out in, like, less than a second with one hit, and I'm out. I wouldn't even know what happened and be like, where am I? And I'm away. So that's kind of the order that I was kind of thinking. I mean, that's how I would do it. Is that good or no?
No, here's my thing is I like, because I'm with Justin every day, so, and I hunt with him all the time, and it's awesome. Don't get me wrong, I love hunting with Justin. It's great. We always look forward to hunting spring turkeys together, but I don't know what's gonna happen, man. I want to do it. Thank God I live up here in the mountains, because I know we get turkeys coming back here, so I might be putting a blind up on my acres back here, and hopefully, to pray to God, turkeys come in. But so if I'm partying with one, fighting one, and hunting with one, man, I'm definitely gonna have to go with this one again. I mean, Chuck Liddell's a partier, so I'm gonna have to go with Chuck.
he is a partier. I know that.
Yeah, he does. I was telling Snyder this the other day. I think he owns a couple of bars in Nebraska, my home state. So I got to figure that out. And then hunting one, I'm obviously going to do Dan. I'm going to go with Henderson just because I know he's a big outdoorsman too, you know.
He does talk about hunting together at SHOT Show. We partied for a while at one of the shows, and he's like, hey, can you give me a cell phone? I got it. We started chatting a little bit, so I'm thinking maybe we could do a hunt for adventure hunting. Yeah,
he would definitely be a good one to do, and I actually need to get a hold of him to do one with the GU series. So I think he would be awesome just because, you know, I've always been a big fan of him, but honestly, I have to fight Justin then, you know? An ass whooping isn't so bad once in a while. If I'm going to get a paycheck paid like he gets paid, I'll take a paycheck like that.
Yeah. I know.
Right?
Yeah, right?
Right? So, yeah, that's my deal. So, yeah, anyways, back to the MMA deal. The other question I have for you is, now, if the UFC was just as big as it is now, and I'm talking like, okay, like beginning fighters are getting anywhere from 20,000 a fight, 20,000 a show, 20,000 to win. So 40,000, right?
Yeah.
On top of a bonus they could get.
Well, that's a good chunk.
Yeah, so good chunk. When I was fighting back in 2007 and 8 in the UFC, dude, our starting out was like 3-3, 3,000 to show, 3,000 to win, 6-6, 12-12. I mean, it was bare minimum. I mean, but that was the time where we lived off our sponsorship. Like, that's when our fight shorts were like trekked out. You know, that's how we made our living, was off our sponsorship. Tap Out, you know, Home Depot, you know, all that stuff. So we made our money back up on that, supplement companies, stuff like that. But it's way different now.
Reebok kind of took over. Now that's the one. You can't just wear, you know, like Tap Out anymore and all the things that you used to be able to do back in the day when it first started. That was a big deal.
Oh, it was guys to wear huge,
make their money and whatnot.
Well, I mean, Reebok still pays them, but you gotta have so many fights in the UFC to get. They have like a grade scale, you know, like a tier system. That's garbage. Mm-hmm. It's garbage, and I hope the UFC gets rid of them here soon. I really do. But anyways, the question I was gonna ask you is, as big as the UFC is now, and they're making all this money, would you consider yourself ever doing that kind of work?
Never, man. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it because, I mean, I personally think they make so much money, and on the weight of other people's shoulders, you know, I mean, these guys that train hard, that are eating right or trying to make weight, all these things, and they're doing these massive pay-per-views and massive payouts, and you know, a lot of guys just aren't making a lot of money, and it's hard not only to compete, but to make a living for your family. I think there's got to be maybe some kind of way to help those guys make more money. I mean, let's face it, their lives are on the line. I mean, they could have a head trauma. They could be, you know, injured for life and be out of the ring, and then doing what? You know, just working for the man. So I think it'd be something Dana White should look at.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I would never wish upon my worst enemy to do what I did for a living. Never. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's been great for me. I probably wouldn't change it if I had to do it all over. If I had to backtrack and do it all over again, no, I would still do this path. Because I've got to see the world. I've got to do a lot of things, make money doing it. It's been a tough thing. Like, you know, right now, everybody asks me right now, like, I got a daughter that's almost 5. And she trains with me, and they're like, man, what is she going to do? You going to let her fight? And I'm like, no, I don't want her to fight. And I have a boy now too, you know? And I'm like, no, but they are going to know how to defend themselves. They're going to train. And I hope to God they don't follow the path that I did, but they are definitely going to know how to take care of themselves.
Sure, and you know, and on the flip coin here, I've never done like UFC fighting. I couldn't even imagine what it's like to walk into the ring. When I'm watching the fights, you know, people around me are looking at me. I'm like this, you know, because I'm like trying to get out of the hold, and I'm trying to, but I'm not really there. But I feel like I'm there because it's like, if I was in that situation, how would I defend myself? How would I get out of that situation? I mean, I just as a, you know, outsider looking in, I can't imagine what fighters go through, you know.
Yeah, it's a mental fucking game, dude. It really is. Well, it's no different than hunting. Like, sure. You know, like you're stalking animals and you blow the stock, or, you know, the anticipation of opening day. I mean, it's all a mind game, right? Like, it really is. And but, you know, if you did your homework, you trained hard, if you, you know, did your scouting, it's all the same. Just maybe you just don't get so bloody. You know what I mean? Like, that's the difference, you know?
But, yeah, I totally get it. You know, the only UFC fight that I've ever been to where I actually went and watched the UFC fight, one of my buddies, Alan Harvey, who's a good friend of mine from the Marine Corps, invited me out to UFC 98. It was Keith Jardine and Rampage. And he had tickets, like, right up front. Like, I was three rows from the center of the octagon. It was insane. And we were watching this battle go on or whatever. And I mean, that's where I met like Tito Ortiz. I talked Dana White. Dana White had seen one of the old shows I did on the Outdoor Channel. It was a program. It was Nozzle's Magnum TV. He's like, oh yeah, I've seen that show. I'm like, wait, Dana White watched the show I worked on for years. So I talked to him for a while. I talked to the Maniac, what's his face? Sanchez.
Yep.
Right. All yep. these, I mean, Diego. Old school guys. All there, yeah, and it was awesome, and I had a great time. And at the end of the night, I'm walking out of there, and I looked over, and where Rampage was sitting, his gloves were there, UFC gloves were on the ground. So I walked up and grabbed some fuckers and walked out the door. I have them to this day, sitting there in my storage unit right now. But I have Rampage's gloves from UFC 98.
That's badass.
So yeah. So it's kind of cool, you know. I got a 3/4 life size bear mount that's in storage. I usually put them on the bear.
Yeah,
so
they're huge.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's funny. Yeah, like Rampage and my shit. I love that dude. He's actually been. I loved him back in the Pride days. But Keith Jardine, man, I used to train with that dude all the time.
He's got a Butte. Road for me, Butte. We call it Butte America. Yeah. Right, that's where he's from.
Yeah. Well, no. I don't, is he? Well, when I trained with him, he was down in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So
yeah, I don't know. Butte. Everybody says he's Jardine's from Butte, but I mean, maybe not. I about to do my research, but I thought he was.
Yeah, he might well be.
Jardine, I mean, those are the ones that are from Butte, America that I know of.
Right. Yeah, he's good shit. Yeah. I like him too. Tell me, what do you have stored coming up this spring besides, you know, I see you shed hunting, you know, right now.
Oh yeah, we're out chasing sheds, but you know, so my van is actually at the Adventure Company right now. They're kitting it out, so the inside's getting cabinetry, solar panels, big roof rack, all this junk on my van. It'll be done May 1st. So right out of the gate, I roll down to down to Florida. I'm meeting up with Manny Puig. I don't know if you guys know, he makes these really cool necklaces here. He's one of the consultants for Johnny Knoxville and Jackass. He's the guy that dove with the sharks and the gators and all that. They call him the Shark Man if you look him up on Wikipedia. Super cool cat. We're doing a 2-part series with him. We're going to build those big tridents. We're going to spear tilapia, and then we're going to eat them. And then we're going to go after Burmese pythons, and we're going to catch them in the Everglades and talk about how invasive they are on the environment.
Oh, wait a minute. You're going to go hunting pythons?
Oh, yeah. We're hunting pythons, man. And we're going to eat them in a van. Man.
Okay, well, make sure you cook that shit, because I think I saw a bunch of shit where coronavirus came from, man. That fish market was jacked up.
I think we're good on the 35. Then we might be screwed.
Hey, those fucking snake get really big.
They get huge. Yeah, they've got some of them that are actually eating the alligators. So they're you know, so people don't know the tilapia are in the top 100 invasive species in the world. You know, tilapia, they take over, you know, the waterways and stuff. And then you've got Burmese pythons are killing all the, you know, the indigenous species to the Everglades. So we're going to speak with the biologists, talk about how bad they are. I've got some cool cats from Insomniac Bow Fishing that are going to be out scouting, finding these pythons before we get there. Not exactly staging them, but, you know, you're not going to find a needle in a haystack, especially in the Everglades. So have a rough idea within, 50 acres of where the last time they saw the day before. We'll go in, we'll find them. We're going to catch him and kill him straight up, you know. So,
dude, that sounds epical, honestly, dude. Like, that shit sounds fun as hell.
On a grill and eat them. And I mean, at the end of the day, you can use their, you know, their skin for or right. boots or pool. And so the whole idea is sustainable living. And then I'll come back from that. Brandon's doing that hunt with Adam Glick. You know, he's never hunted before. He had a big show, I think, on, I forget, it was on cable. But, you know, he's an outdoor chef, and we're going to do a show with him. We've got Kerry Barlow, famous singer-songwriter, good friend of mine. If you heard American Honey, his wife wrote Jesus Take the Wheel with Lady Gaga, A Million Reasons. He's a big songwriter, so we're going to do a show with him, deer hunting in Oklahoma. We've got just a whole bunch of cool shows, some spearfishing shows. I mean, just all, you know, you never know where we're going. You never know what we're going to do. You don't know who the people are going to meet. And we're all going to tell their story as in their professional careers. And sustainable living, that's it. So it should be fun, man.
I'm actually really excited to see where you guys go and, like, what – I mean, like, how this whole setup is. I mean, it's a badass van. It's a Mercedes, obviously.
Oh, yeah. It's Sprinter. It's unreal. It's like a Cadillac on, you know, for a van, literally.
Right. How well did those go in the snow and stuff?
Great. So this is crazy. So we just had, so the guys over at Van Compass over, they're a company out of Post Falls, Idaho, just put this cool ass, like, they put these different springs on it and a bunch of cool secondary shock system and some other beefier tires and all this stuff. And they can go anywhere. I mean, literally they're like, I mean, they, I can't say anywhere. They have a higher, you know, they're a little bit higher, but they can still go good. I mean, like I took one, I was crawling over logs and I was going down embankments into the river and going through stuff that I'm thinking, man, I don't even know if I'm going to take my Tundra here. And I'm worried. I'm like, well, at least this thing's wrapped. You know, I don't have to worry about getting the paint job screwed up, you know, but I mean, they go like, especially in four low, they crawl. Really? So, yeah.
That's interesting because, I mean, you think of a Mercedes as a luxury car, like, you know, street, but you know, I don't own one. So I every time I see one driving by me, cause like, on I-70 right here up in Colorado, you know, the ski resorts, this is their run. And they always like, have those big ass vans coming because they use shuttle people from the airport to the ski resorts, and I see them and I'm like, and I think of you and I'm like, dude, those things are sweet as fuck.
They are sweet. And you know the cool thing, like, so Adventure Company, they're out of Diamond Springs, we're based in Placerville, California. So look them up. They're really, I mean, they're badass. These guys take, you know, a bare bones Sprinter that's just basically a shell on the inside and turn it into this absolute work of art. I mean, and depending on what you want to do, like, let's say you had a bunch of fighters and you wanted them to, you know, at the end of the training, you want to give them an IV, right? Or whatever, just pretend. Right. I don't know. You know, they've got guys from they just did one for a client where the guy can come in, sit down, and they can put an IV in, like for runners at the Boston Marathon or whatever it is, maybe a triathlon or something. You can sit down four or five people inside the inside of it and they can sit there, get their IV and roll. I mean, they just did a whole van for a guy like that. I mean, it goes fly fishermen. I mean, it goes on deeply. Like ours is for hunting and whatever. So if you can dream it up, Adventure Company can kit it out to your needs.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. That's awesome. I mean, yeah. My head's thinking right now, like, you know, what I could do with one of those babies. You know what I mean? Like, it's unbelievable what I'm thinking.
Yeah, you could drive around, do your podcast, meet up with your fighters, build the whole thing for a podcast and do it in your van. You know, like, what's cool with Adventure Hunters, I've got all these cool sponsors like, you know, Magnum Research, OnX Maps, all these big companies have come on and they've actually sponsored the bill. They've got behind my whole idea and they're helping me pay for the bill. So, I mean, it's a lot of Sprinters, 70 some grand just to go buy bare bones. And then you got to add all the parts to it. So, I mean, it's a big investment when you go in, you know, head first into something new like this. And luckily, I got a lot of great companies behind me.
Well, and that's something like people need to realize. Like, fuck, man. When I started this whole thing with Gladiators Unleashed, I thought I seen on TV. I was on Willie Schmidt's Pure Hunting, right?
Yeah, Willie.
Yeah, man.
I love that.
I love that guy too, man. He just his dad just passed away, man. I feel bad for him.
Yeah, prayers to you.
Right, but like that's another reason why the film hunts. Like what? Mm-hmm. Look how many memories he has with his dad right there, and he'll have forever. You know what I mean?
He was that guy in the family that took him out and introduced him to sustainable living. Hunting's okay. It's okay to hunt and eat whatever you're shooting and have respect for it. And look, You know, that man changed his life. He went on to TV, and now he promotes that. I mean, what a round robin. What a neat thing to pass on to his kids.
Yeah, dude.
You know?
And Willie the G, dude. I love that dude. That guy's fun as shit.
He's a good
What I'm saying is, you know, being on his show a couple times as a co-host, and I was like, man, I can do this, right?
Totally.
I can do this. Yeah. Man, when you walk in the industry, you're like, you're just another fish in the ocean. It doesn't matter who you are. It don't matter. You have to literally be somebody, have impressions, do this. I mean, you got to have a name like Jim Kinsey right now. Like, you have done the track work. You have done the track work. And even today, like, I'm still a newbie in this outdoor industry. And, you know, don't think you can just come into this industry. And I mean, there's too many people taking a bite of this pie and you're going to make a living out of these companies because it's a bunch of BS. Because now you see on Instagram why people try to do this for followers and impressions. I mean, it's garbage. I mean, and honestly, like it put a sour taste in me, and the industry put a sour taste in me on how it was like, why are you sponsoring this guy? Or why are you working with this guy? And it was just garbage. But then you have the true people that actually deserve companies' marketing money that do the right things, that, you know, show great content. Like, I mean, this guy, I mean, literally, look at Skullbound, for instance. I mean, how many awards have you guys have won?
We've been up for a few, and we did won our Golden Moose Award for Fan Favorite Conservation Show. You know, it's basically, the way I look at it is, let your work speak for itself. You know, don't be braggadocious. Just do a good job and over-deliver. If I was to tell any producer anything, I'd say over-deliver. If they said, hey, you've got to do a commercial for them, give them 100 photos. Give them a bunch of videos. If you do that, you'll separate yourself from the pack. You can't just be like that guy that's going to give exactly what you said you're going to give. You want to continue to work in this industry, you have to over-deliver.
So. Plain and simple. And honestly, don't be giving out our secrets. We're gonna edit this shit out. No, hey, it's the truth, because like I tell people, I tell companies, this is what I'm gonna do, but I promise you, I'll do more. You know what I mean?
You have to
if you want to stay above water, right? I mean, this
outside the box. If you're not thinking outside the box, this industry isn't for you, because if you don't think outside the box, you're gonna just be vanilla, but you'll blend with the rest of them. You got to be outside that box. Don't pigeonhole yourself into something that everybody else is doing. Do something that's different, unique, and grabs people's attention.
Yeah. Like your new series right now. It's something that's grabbing my attention. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm like, this cocksucker thought of something really, really good.
I've had a few people.
Yeah, and he's already got companies on the board. So that's good. Like, honestly, Jim, like, that's the shit, right? Like, they believe in you. Think. You know, they know your work. They know what kind of person you are, just like I do.
Yeah. So, thank you, man.
That shows a lot of, you know, on the companies that are already working with you, because they do know you. You know what I mean? And they trust you, and they know what kind of work you put out, and you're not going to just take their money and run, you know? You're going to put out some badass content. I know it.
And the truth of it is like, I mean, my name means a lot to me, and if I put out any piece of work, it has to be good, the best, because I won't put it out. My dad always said at the beginning when I was a young man, do it right the first time or don't do it at all. And so I've always had that mindset to – you know, to deliver the best that I can to my capability, to the technology's capability, and try to over-deliver. That's the key to success, I think, in basically any industry, any business. And it's been really successful for me.
Dude, that's a great piece of advice. Like, if anybody's listening to this, I'm telling you right now, that's the same kind of deal like when I go corner fighters, right? Like that's my name, that's my face, that's my fame, that's me. You are walking out to the fight with me behind you, like as I put in work with you. And my deal is, like, I get fighters hit me up all the time, and they're like, hey, man, will you corner me for this fight? No, dude. I worked out with you, like, twice a week. And,
exactly.
Or, you know, you showed up, like, three times in my class before this fight. No, I'm not going to go corner you because you want me to wrap your hands or you just want me.
Put in the work. That's what you have to do.
Exactly.
And you better be falling asleep on your computer, and you better be putting in 18-hour days, and you better, and you better, and you better. And if you don't, you won't. That's basically what it comes down to.
Plain and simple, right? I mean, that's just kind of my motto is, like, if you put in the work, yeah, I got your back. But until
then. 7 days a week. That's my whole life. 7 days a week, I live, eat, sleep, and breathe producing. And, you know, people don't know that about me. I mean, they may see me on Instagram, always here, always there. While I'm there, you're here, I'm working. Like, people don't know that. My kid always coming over. He's like, Dad, you never stop working. He was over today cutting a piece that we shot here at Blue Ribbon Auto. That's part of the van build. But it's because I don't stop working. I have a job to do. And people relying on, you know, things that I said I was going to do. It's in a contract. If I tell you when to do it, I'm going to follow through and finish it. So that's how I roll.
Well, that's always the man that I know, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of your son, man, like, tell me a little bit about him. I saw that he went to Grady School.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me, like, I went to that school twice. I went to his, three times? I don't know. I had him. I hosted my own school for my crew. I flew him out, told him to come out and do it, and then I went out to Oregon and did it. So it was twice, yeah. I probably should have done like three or four of them.
Great. Not a good school, man. I mean, you know, Bowen was like, you know, he's a split image of me. Like, him and I are, like, real similar, obviously, you know. My oldest son is more of a mechanic, more of a Walker Giovanni Kinsey, my oldest son. He's 25. Bowen Kinsey, he's 23. And so they're both real different. Now, Bowen is that artist. He plays. He sings. I've had him down cutting with multi-platinum producers in Nashville. He's like me. I'm like, if he can do all that, he can surely edit. And he likes a camera so he could direct in film. So I sent him to film school with Grady, and he's come back like this. He's like a different person. He's like, Dad, I want to help you. I want to help you, Adventure Hunter. I want to film. I'm like, hey, if Jim Shockey could do it and Brandlin, I'm sure as heck could be like, hey, why isn't my kid doing the same thing? So it was like a no-brainer. You know, and now I've got him editing some of my stuff, and I'm going to put him to work for Adventure Hunter.
Dude, so. I'm jealous. I'm jealous. Right now I'm like, God, I got a 4.5-year-old daughter. Come on, hurry up and grow up. But then I don't want her to grow up, you know? What I've been using now is idolizing my fighters, you know, because fighters, yeah. I mean, let's keep it real. Fighters don't make a lot of money, you know, especially on the local shows and stuff like that. So if I can, you know, show them how to run a camera, show them how to, you know, hit stop, start, you know, follow me along, you know, I'll give them a little money there. Help me out, you know, get them a little job on the side. Obviously, they get to drink beer from me, but man, this whole coronavirus put a damper on everything that I'm about to working on. It's nuts.
Sure, and I get it. You know, that's the theme across America. You know, even as a producer like me, I've had two of my sponsors, you know, two of them call up and say, hey, could we postpone payments? You know, I got like 22 sponsors. So, like, you know, for until this outbreak, I'm like, yeah, because some of their workers are in China. You know, they're building something that, you know, is maybe assembled there and they can't release something. So I'm like, yeah, absolutely. You know, you have to be flexible too as a producer, and you have to work with these guys because, let's face it, you know, this is a really massive kick in the ass. And I think everybody's figure how to get through it.
Right. And that's just, man, I was doing a workout on live video today for my class. And, you know, at the end of it, I kind of talked to him and I said, hey, man, stay indoors, you know, as much as we don't like to, but this is a fight, whether we like it or not. Like this is the American people, not just the American people. This is worldwide. Like, people got to take this serious and fight it. Like, it's a fight, and I don't like to lose fights. And so listen, like, there's people that we don't know about that are scientists, doctors, and stuff like that. They're in the front lines right there. They're the Marines right now. This ain't a war fire. Those doctors and scientists are our front line. And if they're telling us to stay indoors, fucking stay indoors.
Yeah. look at the big post Zach Brown just put out on Instagram the other day. Super heartfelt. His whole tour has been shut down. Now Zach's a friend of mine, and he's actually one of the sponsors of Adventure Hunter. He actually, a little story, and I'll tell you, last year, February, we were down at his place and checked out his studio and got to see his private pad. At the end of the night, a lot of people don't know this, but he's a hunter, you know, and he's a conservationist and stuff, but he doesn't really advertise that. He's just, you know, he's an artist, singer, songwriter guy. Right. I want to get him on the show. We start talking about Zach Brown Collective. He's got, you know, wine company. He's got the Denver Box. He's got the knife and the Alaska Salt Company, Southern Grand Knives. Last year, he gave me his personal knife out of his pocket. I was like, I didn't even know you had a knife company. And he goes, oh, yeah, Southern Grind. This is only handed out to his band members. It's called a machine member. And he handed me this. I'm like, dude, I don't know what to say. And so I was super excited about that.
Are you guys seeing this thing? This thing is, looks badass.
Zach Brown's personal knife out of his pocket.
That's
and
dope.
It was one of the coolest things I've ever, you know, been given. And it means the world to me. And so, you know, they sponsored the band bill. And so this year you're going to see us drinking, you know, Zach Brown Uncaged. Who doesn't want to be uncaged, right? You know, get in the cage. So, right. So yeah, good stuff. Good wine company, all kinds of different things. And big shout out to Zach Brown. We're with you, bro.
That's dope. That's cool. Not to change gears, but you just brought up a good thing that I want to talk about. I forgot to mention this to you. Open the Cage. Talk to us. What's up with
that? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so Open the Cage is a brand that I started the same year we launched Gladiator, the song Gladiator on that album. I trademarked the phrase, Open the Cage, as a metaphor. Life's a fight. You know, you've got to overcome obstacles, whether it's, you know, the Taliban or whether it's the coronavirus or whether it's, you know, whatever it is, there's all these obstacles are thrown at you in life. So I came up with the idea of Open the Cage, Life's a Fight, quote, Open the Cage. So, yeah, so I've got the website still rolls. We're still selling T-shirts. We've got hats. We've got everything on there. We did a deal with the Preferred line, which is like kind of like Open the Chute, Open the Cage, you know, all that ranching rodeo world. We have a line with them. So, yeah, it's been really successful, and I appreciate all the support out there from everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually gotten a couple gear things from you, and it's awesome gear, everyday gear. Like, it's the most comfortable shirt you guys can wear. Like, fucking right now, Open the Cage is a perfect slogan right now. Right. I'm
rocking your shirt today because I love you guys and I wanted to support.
Thank you.
So, you know, yeah, I've had that on, but, you know, Open the Cage is there. It's openthecagegear.com. And we've got a ton of apparel there that you can, you know, hand out and just get through this whole, you know, this whole COVID-19 thing and just overcome that obstacle, because as Americans, we're going to overcome it.
Yeah, that's just the thing. Like, you know, I know we're going to be better from this. It sucks right now, but like I said, like, here's my thing. I think Mother Nature, the world, or you can say God, Jesus, sent us to our room to think about what we have done or what we're missing out. Don't take things for granted, you know, enjoy it, you know. And I mean, believe me, I'm no poet, but goddamn, he's kind of put a halt to the world. And stopped, and he kind of showed like he's still in command, you know.
a little shake and rattle here, like, hey guys, here's what's up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, you can put the phone down, and you can go out and get outside. You want social distancing? Go climb a mountain. Go climb a, you know, go take a run. Get away from people. You don't have to sit here, look at your screen time for the week. And oh, I was down 7 hours. Why don't you get outside and make that your screen time? There's your big picture right out in front of you. But everybody stares at their phone all day. You know, maybe now's a good time to reflect on, you know, 20, 30 years ago, we built forts. We dug worms. We caught catfish at night. We did stuff, you know, we had a dial-up rotary phone. I mean, come on.
One, nine.
Exactly.
Oh, shit, I messed up. I got to start all over.
Back in the day, man, you know, it was a little different. But the truth of the matter is let's go back to basics, and that's really what it comes down to, you know, back to basics, you know?
Yeah, I'm 100% with you there. I mean, it really is. It's like I'm guilty for it. I mean, shit, I'm always on my phone. My wife kicks my ass for it. And, you know, my kids right there are like, Dad, come play with me. And I'm like, yeah, I will. And I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. And I'm horrible. But, like, this whole time, me not working and being here with the family is just like honestly, it's a blessing for me because this is awesome because hanging out with my family has been honestly an eye-opener for me is like, damn, you know, family is important personally. I mean, I really do. I really think family is important. And when this is all done, I'm definitely going to take more evenings off from the gym to have dinner at night. You know, that this shit is special right now.
You get one go in life. It's like one go, one shot. And, you know, you learn from your mistakes and it makes you a stronger person. And you know, life throws you a lemon, you make lemonade, you throw a little Tito in there. But
yeah,
either way,
Tito's.
you learn as you go. And especially with everything going on right now, I think it's just smart to reflect on what is important in your life. You know, what's really important? Family is everything, you know? That's kind of what I've been concentrating on. My family and, you know, some quiet time. I like to sit on the piano and play a little ballad. Sounds crazy. I was in the Marine Corps, but I play ballads, but hey, whatever. That's what kind of just clears my mind and lets me go to ease and whatever. So
Right on. Well, shit, Jim, I'm telling you, man, I got to call you a little bit more, man, not just for the podcast, but just to bullshit with you, man. It's been fun catching up with you. I'm telling you right now, like, I'm excited to see what you got coming out. I know you're a G on the camera. I know you're a G in the editing. Like, you know.
Thank you. I mean,
like, really, it's.
Teach me to do some boxing, or, you know, some MMA stuff. We'll trade out some skills.
Hey, I'm so down. Because
I want to go in the ring and do some fighting and just mess around and get thrown around a little bit. That'd be cool. I'd love to do that.
Well, you bring that van down here to Colorado, and I promise you, I got a place here.
It's there, man. Introduce me into what it is like to be training. Put me through the rigors. Make it happen. Make me puke. Go through the whole thing until I'll see what I got left in me at 51 years old.
Hey, I promise you, it'll be a good time. It's not for everybody, but I'm going to tell you, knowing that you are a Marine, I'm going to give you a little something, though. I'm going to give you a little something.
Okay, I'll do it, man. I'm down, man. You just say the time and take it into an episode.
Hey, man, honestly, that'd be a pretty fucking badass deal if you drove that thing down here and we did a whole series. Like, that would be a pretty cool thing, you doing it, training, and
And then you're on and then we go do a hunt or something cool.
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking? Like, a hunt, yeah, would be awesome. But I'm also thinking I can get you a real smoker right here to do in my gym, real, like, a boxing, kickboxing deal. Just, you know, for fucking, you know, camera purposes. And you do, like, a two-minute round, three two-minute rounds. Dude, you could do it with headgear, shin guards.
Excuse me. Do it, man.
That would be awesome. But anyways, explain to people, tell people.
Yeah.
Where do they find you? Where can they watch? Yep. Where can they follow? Explain it.
Yeah, so on Instagram, at Adventure Hunter, as in Van Adventure Hunter. My other one, personal one, is at KinseyHD, KinseyHD. That's my Instagram, and AdventureHunter.com is the website. So, easy, simple. Follow me there, and I'll follow you back.
Right on. Hey, the other thing is what I want to know is...
What do you get for $10?
Come on, I'll Jay. What do I get in that van?
Free consulting and a Snicker bar.
No. I'm sold. Snickers. Terrible. You got me.
Terrible.
Oh, shit. That was bad. But anyways, guys... Jim, it's been the real, dude. I love it. Love it, bro. Hey, stay safe out there. Stay healthy. I want you to get down here to Colorado, and let's do this. Let's do this.
What's up?
Yeah, guys, remember, if it ain't for my companies, Tidal Knives, Kafaro Packs, Leopold, Cryptek, check them out. This is... It's all new. Check them out. Give them a holler. Give us a subscribe. Follow Jim. Right? He's the man. I appreciate it. Signing off. Till the next one.